Thinking critically about Is Christianity True? Podcast number 3, What is Christianity? My name is Bradley Bowen. I will be your host and guide for this series of podcasts on thinking critically about Is Christianity True? My educational background. I have a BA in philosophy, an MA in philosophy, and I've completed all requirements for a PhD in philosophy from UC Santa Barbara, except for completion of my doctoral dissertation. The main question at issue. Question 1. Is Christianity true? This is the main question at issue that I will investigate in this series of podcasts. Question 2. How can we answer question 1? In this series of podcasts, I will try to answer question 1 by thinking critically about question 1. Question 3. What is critical thinking? Critical thinking is, roughly speaking, thinking that is careful, judicious, objective, and fair. Question 4. Why should anyone care whether Christianity is true? In podcast number 1, I gave 10 reasons why we should care about whether Christianity is true or false. In podcast number 2, I replied to 10 objections against my view that we should invest some time into thinking critically about question 1. Question 5. What is Christianity? Before we can rationally evaluate Christianity, we need to clarify what we mean by the word Christianity in this context. This will help to clarify question 1. Critical thinking defined. Here is an excellent definition of critical thinking from 2 leading experts on critical thinking. Critical thinking is that mode of thinking about any subject, content, or problem in which the thinker improves the quality of his or her thinking by skillfully taking charge of the structures inherent in thinking and imposing intellectual standards upon them. That's from the Miniature Guide to Critical Thinking Concepts and Tools, page 1, by Dr. Richard Paul and Dr. Linda Elder. The elements of thought. This is an important key concept in critical thinking. There are 8 elements of thought that critical thinkers use to analyze their thinking and the thinking of others. The elements of thought are basic and applicable to all of our thinking. Here are the elements of thought. Question at issue. Purpose of the thinking. Points of view of the thinking. Assumptions in the thinking. Implications and consequences of the thinking. Information used in the thinking. Concepts used in the thinking, interpretations and inferences in the thinking. That's from the Miniature Guide to Critical Thinking Concepts and Tools, page 2. Another key concept to understand critical thinking is universal intellectual standards. There are many intellectual standards that critical thinkers use to evaluate their thinking and the thinking of others. Some intellectual standards are basic and applicable to nearly all of our thinking. Here are some basic and widely applicable intellectual standards. Clarity, accuracy, precision, relevance, depth, breadth, logic, significance, and fairness. That's from the Miniature Guide to Critical Thinking Concepts and Tools, page 9. The importance of question 5. Question 5, what is Christianity? A good first step of any serious investigation is to clarify the main question at issue. This is applying a universal intellectual standard, in this case clarity, to an element of thought, in this case question at issue. All reasoning is an attempt to figure something out, to settle some question, solve some problem. Take time to clearly and precisely state the question at issue. Express the question in several ways to clarify its meaning and scope. Break the question into sub-questions. Identify if the question has one right answer, is a matter of mere opinion, or requires reasoning from more than one point of view. That's a quote from the Miniature Guide to Critical Thinking Concepts and Tools, page 3. Question 5 is important because it is an attempt to clarify question 1, which is Christianity true? By clarifying a key concept in that question, namely the concept represented by the word Christianity. The intellectual standard of clarity. Clarity. Could you elaborate further on that point? Could you express that point in another way? Could you give me an illustration? Could you give me an example? Clarity is a gateway standard. If a statement is unclear, we cannot determine whether it is accurate or relevant. In fact, we cannot tell anything about it because we don't yet know what it is saying. For example, the question, "What can be done about the education system in America?" is unclear. In order to adequately address the question, we would need to have a clearer understanding of what the person asking the question is considering the problem to be. A clear question might be, "What can educators do to ensure that students learn the skills and abilities which help them function successfully on the job and in their daily decision making?" That's from the Miniature Guide to Critical Thinking Concepts and Tools, page 7. Key claims about the concept of Christianity. In this podcast, I'm going to consider 5 key claims about Christianity and comment on them. Claim 1, Christianity is true. Claim 2, Christianity is not a religion, it is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Claim 3, religions have several dimensions. Claim 4, a religion is basically a worldview. Claim 5, there are many Christianities. Claim 1, Christianity is true. What this claim assumes. Defenders of Christianity, called Christian apologists, all argue for the claim that Christianity is true. This claim assumes that Christianity is the sort of thing that could be true or that could be false. I'm looking at a list of over 20 Christian apologists, and I have web references to articles on the internet by these Christian apologists in which they argue that Christianity is true. Here are the names: Brian Outen, Francis Beckwith, Winfred Corduan, Stephen Cowan, William Craig, Matthew Flanagan, Norman Geisler, Douglas Gruthuis, Gary Habermas, Hank Hanegraaff, James Patrick Holding, Greg Kuchel, Peter Kreeft, C.S. Lewis, Mike Licona, Ranald McCauley, Josh McDowell, Matt Slick, Carson Wietenhauer, Ravi Zacharias, and Patrick Zukerin. Claim 2. Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is a popular claim made by many Christian believers, but it is clearly wrong. Christianity is a religion. The word Christianity is defined in dictionaries as being a religion. Sociologists, philosophers of religion, and religious studies scholars consider Christianity to be a religion. And finally, a religion is something that could be true or that could be false. Christianity is not a relationship. No dictionary defines Christianity as being a relationship. Sociologists, philosophers of religion, and religious studies scholars do not consider Christianity to be a relationship. And finally, and most importantly, a relationship is not something that could be true or that could be false. So if someone wants to claim that Christianity is true, which is every Christian apologist that I've ever read, then they cannot claim that Christianity is a relationship. Those two are logically incompatible claims. Claim three, religions have several dimensions. And this is a claim that I fully support and agree with. Ninian Smart is a widely respected expert in comparative religions. He asserts that religions have several dimensions, particularly the following six dimensions. 1. Doctrinal and philosophical. 2. Mythic and narrative. 3. Ethical or legal. 4. Ritual or practical. 5. Experiential or emotional. 6. Social or institutional. That list is from Worldviews, 3rd edition, pages 8 through 10, by Ninian Smart. Claim 4. A religion is basically a worldview. This is also a claim that I support and agree with. The doctrinal and philosophical dimension of a religion is only one of the six dimensions mentioned by Ninian Smart. But in my view, it is the most basic dimension of a religion. It is this dimension of a religion that makes a religion something that could be true or false. The heart of this dimension is a worldview, a philosophy of life. Thus, the most basic and most important aspect of a religion is the worldview associated with that religion. If the worldview is false, then the religion is false. If the worldview is true, then the religion, basically, is true. So, when a Christian apologist claims that Christianity is true, what this means is that the Christian worldview is true. Christianity is something that could be true or that could be false, because the most basic and important aspect of Christianity is the Christian worldview, which is something that could be true or that could be false. Christianity is not a relationship. Christianity is a religion, and a religion is basically a worldview. A worldview is a philosophy of life and a problem-solving scheme. A worldview is a philosophy of life and thus includes the three main aspects of philosophy. Ethics. How should we live? What constitutes a good life or a well-lived life? Metaphysics. What sorts of things and beings exist? What is the basic structure of reality? And epistemology. What can we know, and how do we know what we know? A worldview is also a very general problem-solving scheme. It provides answers to basic problem-solving questions. What are the most basic and important goals of human life? What are the most basic and important problems preventing humans from achieving those goals? How can humans best resolve or mitigate those problems and achieve those goals? Note, unlike Ninian Smart, I use the term worldview to refer only to the philosophical doctrinal dimension of a religion or of a secular analog to religions. The philosophical doctrinal dimension of religion is the most basic and most important. The doctrinal and philosophical dimension of a religion is the most basic and most important dimension of religion. This is partly because the philosophy or worldview associated with a religion is what makes the religion true or false. Another reason is that we can recognize and identify the other dimensions of a religion only if we understand the philosophical doctrinal dimension. Take religious experiences, for example. How do we recognize or identify an experience as being religious as opposed to being non-religious? An experience is a religious experience only if it has a religious meaning or significance to the experiencer. But something can have a religious meaning to an experiencer only in terms of religious beliefs. If, for example, someone has an experience that the experiencer would describe as being in the presence of God, we can identify this experience as having a religious meaning to the experiencer because we recognize that belief in the existence of God is a religious belief. Thus, we can determine that this experience was a religious experience. The same is true of the dimension of religious rituals. A ritual can be identified as being a religious ritual only if it has a religious meaning or significance to the people involved in the ritual. But a ritual can have a religious meaning only in terms of religious beliefs. The same is true of the dimension of religious myths and narratives. Something is a religious narrative only if it is a story that has a religious meaning to the storyteller and/or audience. But a story can have a religious meaning only in terms of religious beliefs. So in order to identify something as a religious experience or a religious ritual or a religious narrative, one must first be able to recognize when something has a religious meaning. And that requires that one be able to identify and recognize religious beliefs. Religious beliefs versus non-religious beliefs. The most basic and most important dimension of a religion is the philosophical or doctrinal dimension, religious beliefs. The heart of the religious beliefs in a religion is a worldview. Thus, the Christian worldview is the heart of the religious beliefs that are associated with the Christian religion. But not all worldviews are religious in nature. As Ninian Smart emphasizes, there are also secular worldviews, such as secular humanism and Marxism. These secular worldviews are not religions, and they do not involve religious beliefs. What marks off the difference between secular and religious worldviews? Ethics are not exclusively the province of religions. There are secular ethical viewpoints. Secular worldviews also encompass metaphysics and epistemology, or what exists and what can we know. Religions involve beliefs about supernatural beings or forces, and also life after death. In general, a religious worldview asserts the existence of one or more supernatural beings or forces, and asserts the existence of some sort of continuation of life after death. While secular worldviews reject or ignore the existence of supernatural beings and forces, and reject or ignore belief in some sort of continuation of life after death. What appears to mark off the distinction between secular and religious worldviews is the inclusion of supernatural beliefs in religious worldviews and the rejection or exclusion of such beliefs in secular worldviews. Religious beliefs that constitute the most basic and important dimension of a religion include more than just the religious worldview associated with that religion. However, religious beliefs are usually connected or related to core religious beliefs found in the religious worldview. Therefore, we can generally determine whether a belief is a religious belief because it is either part of the worldview of a religion or is closely related to that religious worldview. Claim 5. There are many Christianities. There are clearly many versions of Christianity. The major categories are Roman Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, and Protestant denominations. There are significant differences in religious beliefs and religious practices between Catholics and Protestants and Orthodox Christians. There are many denominations of Protestant Christianity, and those Protestant denominations also disagree with each other about various religious beliefs and practices. So it is true that there are many versions of Christianity available today. However, there is also widespread agreement on a number of basic Christian beliefs between Catholicism, Eastern Orthodox Christianity, and several major Protestant denominations. Quote, Orthodox Christianity has similarities and differences with the two other large branches of the Christian faith, which are Roman Catholicism and Protestantism. The three share beliefs on certain core doctrines, such as the sinfulness of man, the Trinity, and the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. End quote. That's from ReligionFacts.com, their article on Eastern Orthodoxy. The Nicene Creed. Furthermore, Catholicism, Eastern Orthodox Christianity, Oriental Orthodox Christianity, Anglicanism, and many major Protestant denominations accept the Nicene Creed. Because of the widespread acceptance of the Nicene Creed, we might well be able to identify a single Christian worldview, in spite of the fact that there are many versions of Christianity. If the Nicene Creed expresses or implies religious beliefs sufficient to characterize a Christian worldview, then it would be reasonable to consider that worldview to be the Christian worldview, a worldview shared by Catholicism, Eastern Orthodox Christianity, Oriental Orthodox Christianity, Anglicanism, and by most major Protestant denominations. A Christian worldview, the problem-solving scheme. The Nicene Creed does not clearly and directly answer the general problem-solving questions that structure a worldview. However, it does assume or imply answers to general problem-solving questions. What are the most basic and important goals of human life? To have a good relationship with God and to obtain eternal life with God. What are the most basic and important problems preventing humans from achieving those goals? Humans have sinned, disobeyed God, and fallen short of God's expectations, and as a result, we face physical death, alienation from God, and eternal punishment in the afterlife. How can humans best resolve or mitigate those problems and achieve those goals? God sent His Son Jesus to suffer and to die for our sins, and to teach us how to live in a way pleasing to God. If we repent of our sins and believe that Jesus is the divine Son of God, who died for our sins, and that God raised Jesus from the dead, then God will forgive our sins, restore our relationship with God, and one day, after we die, God will raise us from the dead and give us eternal life in heaven. Analysis of the Nicene Creed. The Nicene Creed does not clearly and directly answer the general problem-solving questions that structure a worldview. So, in order to show that there is just one Christian worldview, in the next podcast, I will analyze the Nicene Creed in order to show that it does assume or imply answers to the basic problem-solving questions that constitute the structure of a worldview. If the Nicene Creed does assume or imply particular answers to the basic problem-solving questions, then because this creed is widely accepted by all of the main branches of Christianity, we can reasonably conclude that there is just one Christian worldview, even though Christians disagree about many significant religious beliefs. This will show that although there are many versions of Christianity with significant differences, there is just one Christian worldview, which is widely accepted among Christians. Closing remarks. The next podcast. In podcast number 4, I will consider question 6. Are there many Christian worldviews or just one? Thank you. Thank you for listening to my third podcast of the series, Thinking Critically About Is Christianity True? I hope that you will join me again for future podcasts as I continue to investigate this important question. The intellectual standard of clarity is important. Quote, clarity is a gateway standard. If a statement is unclear, we cannot determine whether it is accurate or relevant. In fact, we cannot tell anything about it because we don't yet know what it is saying. End quote. That's from the Miniature Guide to Critical Thinking, Concepts and Tools, page 7.